Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Stephen.
And this is In a Barbie World,
the podcast where we look at every Barbie movie from 1987 to the present day.
From fairy tales to literary classics.
From Mariposa to Mermaidia.
It's time to get unboxed.
Readjust your lippy.
Rock the ball gown.
And let's get our Barbie on.
Hello. Oh my god. Welcome back.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
Hello everybody. We're back.
Us Barbie podcast shut down just as the Barbie started Barbieing to its most Barbie extent. I guess we wanted to just like take a step back, let the whole world enjoy Barbie, and then we return once everyone's, you know, the Oscars are out the way now. Everything's done, so we can come back and be like, hello. Anyway,
yeah, I think we were overexcited for the live action movie, so we decided to avoid it completely. But we're going to talk about it today. But
absolutely.
But I think actually, it's not quite a year, is it, that we last had an episode? But I think taking a step back from the hype actually is quite good. I rewatched it again a couple of nights ago in preparation for this, and I think my opinion is quite different than it was back in July. I don't know how yours
is. Interesting. It's the same.
Okay, you haven't moved. I know what your letterbox review was, so I'm thinking, okay.
This is my Roman Empire. This movie is my Roman Empire. I saw it on opening night. I did not do Barbenheimer. I only saw Oppenheimer about a month ago in preparation for an Oscars podcast. I don't regret, like, I enjoyed Oppenheimer, but I was just very focused on the Barbie of the Barbenheimer. So I watched it on opening night. Did you watch it on opening night?
I didn't watch it on opening night. I watched it opening week on the Saturday. So I think it opened on Thursday, didn't it, in the UK?
Friday was when we could get all the tickets.
So I watched it on the Saturday in the afternoon, and then I watched Oppenheimer the following week.
Nice. That was kind.
I think was a more realistic way. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I detested fucking Oppenheimer. So
did you?
No. Okay. So this is. I'm on record in other podcasts and saying this, but my view of Oppenheimer was it was a really well dramatized Wikipedia page. I'm not going to deny, really well acted, really well shot. I'm sorry, I couldn't understand a word anyone was saying, but I think that's just a Christopher Nolan thing, isn't it? I haven't understood a word in the last three films he's done. So I think the sound mixing was terrible. But I really felt, if you read the Oppenheimer's Wikipedia page, it's almost scene for scene that movie. And
that's funny.
I know a lot of people love it, and I know I'm not just trying to be out there and different and dangerous. I genuinely was bored rigid by it, and there's a few of us that, bored rigid is pushing it a bit. Is it the best film of the year? I really don't think so, but both of those films together are kind of important. And you know, like Tenet was meant to be the film that got us all back to the cinema.
It was Barbie.
I think it was Barbie. Plus, you know, I think Oppenheimer as well. It was event cinema. Yay.
Yes. Yeah, event cinema is back. Was back. Possibly will be back.
And I also enjoyed, I enjoyed seeing these films talked about in all the medias. Really enjoyed watching Barbie cause right-wing media all kinds of conniptions. That was the highlight of my year. But I have... I have problems with the movie. I always did. But we can talk about it. But I know that I know you're a 5 out of 5 stars for it and you loved it.
Oh my goodness. Like, it's so, unfortunately, like, I'm not going to have much nuance in. I will have opinion and I will have like complex feelings, but there's not going to be much nuance. Like, I saw this in cinemas 7 times.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Did you wear your Barbie outfits that you'd bought from Primark?
No, I didn't, but I did spend £40 in Primark on Barbie merchandise.
I can't remember if we talked
about
that.
I then got given even more Barbie merchandise. I'm currently sat next to a Barbie pen. I'm wearing Barbie socks. I look to my left, there's a Barbie hoodie there. Like, I went in. I did to the economy, like, Barbie and me did to the economy what Taylor Swift does when she lands in a new place. Like, it was... Yeah. If you slapped Barbie on it last summer, I'd give you my money.
I mean, I do remember
Like,
when
it was that simple.
you were sending me photos from Primark. You said, "Look what I found." Just like...
Honestly, I'd walked in and they just put the display up that day, and I was like, yeah, because that meant I got first dibs on everything. I was so happy. It
And but it was cool
was
because I don't think we've had that for a non-kids movie for a long time.
Yeah.
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 Or maybe a sci-fi movie. You know, I imagine in Forbidden Planet the action figures move for every time there's a new Star Wars or Star Trek film or something. But genuinely the Barbie movie was a cultural
Mainstream
thing.
stores as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't avoid it. Like, nobody didn't know that a Barbie movie was coming out.
And I mean, you're too young to remember this, but I remember when movies like Ghostbusters or Back to the Future came out. They were events, and they Gremlins. They weren't just about going to the cinema. They filled the newspapers, which newspapers
Yeah.
were the websites of the 80s. They filled the toy shops. But not just the toy shops. They filled all other kind, you know, there would be mugs in the supermarkets of it. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? And yes, there are things like, I don't know, Jurassic Park probably has that kind of iconography and things.
Yeah,
There are a
yeah.
few, but I don't remember a modern film that wasn't a franchise already
Yeah.
that did that. And it wasn't just kids. And
Yeah.
there were idiot stroke good fans delete as applicable at the showing that I saw dressed up in pink like Barbies. If you're into that kind of thing, all the power to you, but don't sit in front of me.
Honestly, like, oh mate, I wore, I think I did wear, I might have worn a Barbie t-shirt. I definitely wore pink, and we went to a bar beforehand, and you could tell who was there to watch Barbie and who was there to watch Oppenheimer. And my screen was filled, and I'd been going to the cinema quite frequently that year, and my screen had never ever been filled. I mean, it was me and one other bloke watching Tar back in January together at like 10 p.m. But this was filled, and I was really concerned because I was like, oh my God, I've not had to sit in a packed cinema for ages. What if they ruin my experience? But they didn't, they enhanced it because the vibe was just so lit. Like, just to be super Gen Z about everything, sorry. What I mean was that the atmosphere was just so electric. It was just a fantastic place to be.
It couldn't agree more, right? I mean, I'm being Stephen about this, you know, underplaying it as I will do. But yes, the showing I went to, it was packed, and it wasn't just packed; it was packed with all sorts of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other time I went to the cinema, I went to see Oppenheimer, like I said, a week later. That was full, but that was a different crowd.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard that mentioned
And I
before as
had
well.
been earlier in the year to see the Black Panther movie, the eulogy to Chadwick Boseman movie,
Yeah.
and that was the only other event movie I went to last year, and that was no fun at all. Not just that the movie wasn't fun, that's a different thing, but just we were all there because we're following Marvel movie. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like a cult visit. Whereas this felt something special, and it made me smile because I don't think I've been to the cinema and had such a good time for a really long time. Now, I am going to go on and tell you about all my problems with the movie, but it's still a 4 out of 5 to me.
Nice.
I'm not saying it's dreadful, terrible.
Yeah.
But I have, you know, I have genuine problems with it, and hopefully you'll talk me out of them, won't you? Or you'll understand one way or the other. But I don't think I've had as much fun for a long, long time.
Okay, that maybe that's how we should do this then. Like, we all know that I think every single choice made in this movie is iconic. It's a masterpiece, Greta Gerwig should be given every single project her heart desires going forward. Margot Robbie's production company should have all of the funding and say in everything. This movie brought back Pink into the mainstream. It made Pink not villainous. It gave women something. There's a reason Twilight was so financially successful. There's a gap in the market for things that women like. And this was a coming of age, childhood, nostalgia, grown up. Like, it's a cross gender. I watched this with somebody's mom and sister, and then on the way to Pizza Express we talked about all the Barbies we had growing up. It was the closest we got to world peace since Pokemon Go. That's how I feel about this movie. So what are your problems?
Well, let me just start with the positive, right?
Okay.
As suspected, Margot Robbie was perfect.
She was perfect.
Yeah, we said this, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I think that was the one thing that we knew
that, yeah,
she was the right actress. Because I think one of the things that could have happened is you could have put some no-name pneumatic blonde actress, you know, to be Barbie.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
But no, you know, Margot Robbie is a genuinely great actress. She may have started in Home and Away, but I will defend
Neighbours, wasn't it?
I thought she was in Home and Away, but in Australian soap operas, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Although so did Guy Pearce. So, you know,
all of them did. Kylie Minogue.
Different thing, but yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
these great actors.
Guy Pearce, I think, is a genuinely great actor, and he's got a back catalogue to back it. So Margot Robbie, yes, she's Harley Quinn, but she's also superb in the film about Nancy Kerrigan. I, Tonya, sorry. She's superb in, what's that, Leonardo DiCaprio film about
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. You know, she's not in it a lot, but to me, she steals the show. And she's a really good actress, but she plays this pitch perfect. So, big tick.
Yeah.
I think America Ferrera was amazing. And to me,
yes,
if anyone deserved an acting nod in this film, it was her. I love that casting, because again, I don't know if you remember Ugly Betty, but America for...
I never watched it, but I was aware of it at the time. It was huge.
The genius casting of America Ferrera is that she was in a show that was literally about the mistakes of appearance being above everything, you know. and that she had become, and she is, I think she's a beautiful woman, right? But I get it. But I thought she was brilliant, and she was brilliantly cast in this as suburban mum, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Whose character actually had some depth in it. There's some other bits, other bits wrong with her wider family we'll get to later. I thought Michael Cera as Alan was fucking amazing. And this comes from somebody who cannot fucking stand Michael Cera. I hate him in everything he's ever done. I just don't like him.
No.
I don't know why. There's something about him I find creepy, right? Real Radio 1 DJ in the 80s creepiness. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. It's just, I don't like him. And, of course, he lent into that creepiness, didn't he, in the End of the World film that he did with Seth
All
Rogen
the,
and
like,
the gang.
And
genuinely creepy, James Franco. But I thought he was brilliant. And I wasn't aware of the Alan character. So those three, Margot Robbie, America Ferrera, Michael Cera, were brilliant. And of course, the guy, even though I don't think he was challenged as an actor, Ryan Gosling.
Must we challenge an actor, or must we just let them be their freaky little selves for 2 hours?
And it's more for his performance, it's more about him in the film, but he bought into this fucking role months ahead.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, and we talked about this. He was appearing on chat shows a year before.
Yeah.
And without an ounce of shame, without an ounce of self, I just thought he was brilliant, right?
Yeah.
Now, was I expecting to go to the Barbie movie and basically watch a movie about Ken getting red-pilled? I wasn't. I wasn't. And
yeah, I don't think anyone was. Well, I had guessed ahead of time that Ken would have become like a third act villain, or he would have been like a puppet for a villain. Like, that was my guess. I thought that Ken would become the villain. I woke up one morning and like said it out loud to myself. Well, I wasn't to myself, but yeah, said it out loud. And then it was a joy to sort of not only be proven right, but be proven right in a much less shallow way than I had initially assumed.
Yeah, and I was all right with that. I thought, because I thought, I'm trying, this is rich for somebody who's on a podcast, not being able to express yourself is bad. I think so the really bad stuff is anything, the Will Ferrell stuff, right?
Okay.
With Mattel, so there's a whole thing about, so this film was basically made by Mattel, right? And yet what they thought it would be funny would be to sort of pseudo-criticise themselves with the whole Will Ferrell stuff, which was just a rip-off from the Lego movie, and the weird moments where they laughed at Barbie's history. So with pregnant Skipper?
Midge.
Pregnant Midge. Emerald Ferrell. Why would you hide her in this two tiny moment joke? It was breast expanding Skipper, isn't it? And
yes,
and also the show, you know, why have you brought Rob Brydon in for the day to be Sugar's daddy, Ken?
Because Greg Gerwig likes Gavin and Stacey.
I get it, but I just thought it wasn't leaning into these. There were just a couple of moments in the film where it made a big deal about the weird stuff in the Barbie universe. And it was just weird. Sorry, I've forgotten the other fantastic thing, which absolutely leads back to our very first episode, Emily, is Weird Barbie. Ooh. Kate McKinnon's Weird Barbie. I literally talked about my kids having the Barbies that they rip the heads and legs off and draw Biro on. And and I just felt justified because...
She is that Barbie.
She is that Barbie. So I thought Kate McKinnon's character was great. I just thought... Absolutely. Drawing attention to some quite obscure, weird stuff. I'm not sure what it was telling me, and I'm not sure what Mattel thought they were doing, saying, you know, like, there's sort of these, Will Ferrell's character sort of saying this stuff that's genuinely self-critical of itself, but doing it in a joke, therefore thinking, ha ha, aren't we funny, and postmodern. And yet, on the other hand, the Rhea Perlman stuff was genuinely touching.
Yeah.
And I could have, if we just had that, if we didn't have to have this whole comedy skit troupe stuff,
I don't know,
around Mattel.
I know what you mean. It felt a bit disjointed. It's like how when people criticize Dragonheart, where it's like, is it a rebellion uprising against a tyrannical king, or is it a story about that king's relationship with the dragon whose heart he shares, or is it a story about a man and his dragon friend and they like solve crimes and do shit together, like pick one kind of thing. And I feel a lot of the criticism of Barbie has come from a sort of like pick one place. I think that Mattel is in there so little that it doesn't take anything away from me. It serves a function, and that function is just a very sort of like surface level joke in a way. However, it gives me my favourite joke in the entire movie, so I could never get rid
of
it.
Which is what?
Roost Barbie. Remember Proust Barbie? That was a mistake. And then we see Proust Barbie in the weird house, and I was like...
Yeah, so
good.
I just think the film would have succeeded without that.
Without it,
and
there was it enough... obviously allows us to introduce ourselves to Rhea Perlman. It like I think Mattel kind of had to put themselves in there.
I guess,
a little bit. And
I just didn't need the Will Ferrell.
They could have been
trip.
The saviors as well. They could have been, you know. I feel like with that thing, we have to remember that it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I just think there's this, there was this sort of truth that was advertised throughout the film that somebody somewhere has said that because Barbie has multiple careers and all these other sort of side hustles going on, that we thought we'd fixed feminism.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's ever said that Barbie has fixed that. Maybe that's what Mattel have been saying to themselves, and if so, well done for pointing
it out. But
that's
That's the joke. Like, I'm not trying to like be a dick here. Like, that's the opening. Helen Mirren is like, and all they've solved all problems of feminism, and that's fine. And then she literally, for the next line, is like, at least that's what the Barbies think. And who are we to take that away from them? And then the whole movie hinges on this idea that the Barbies think that they've done it. So of course, Mattel, who are making the Barbies, think that as well. And that's the joke as well, where they're coming from a place of like, everything we do is amazing. We run this company on sunshine and dreams, but also like, we want to make a lot of money whilst doing it.
I think the film had a few targets, and maybe one target too many, because other places it's it got mu- I think other things it got much more interesting in its targeting. So I was way more invested in exploring this red pilling stuff with Ken and the other Kens, because they're all Ken apart from Alan, and I love the way Alan wasn't red pilled. I love Alan so much. He's resurrected Michael Cera for me. But I thought that, you know, this is a Greta Gerwig and Noel, what's her husband called, or boyfriend, Noah Baumbach. Is that
Jones?
Yeah,
I never know how to pronounce his surname. I think they're married now. I think they dated for like 12 years, but they are married now.
That was always the thing, is that why are these two writing this movie? And I do think that it is a little tonally inconsistent. But so the other example is, you know, when we saw that first trailer and it was the 2001 sort of ripoff. I was surprised to see that as the opening scene in the film.
But it does make sense, because it established, they've got, when you think of the subject matter, there is so much to handle. I remember being initially disappointed that there weren't a single nod to what we do here. There's not a single nod to the previous Barbie cinematic universe. However, it couldn't have done absolutely everything. It did so much. It couldn't have done everything, and it had to go in. It had to assume that the audience that is coming to it are ones that grew up watching the Nutcracker on repeat, that cut their Barbie's hair off, or that also, like, they've never seen Barbie before in their life and they've no idea what it is. And I tell you who was the most invested during that scene, my dad. It got him hooked. It got him hooked. He was like, because he was so smug sitting there going, I get this reference.
Yeah.
He then watched the rest of the Barbie movie, which he wouldn't have done normally, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that was the like point. I don't think she did that on purpose to hook like the dads in. But
no,
it was just such a brilliant way to introduce the concept and the character.
I was just, in my head, that was like one of those throwaway trailers that, throwaway is the wrong word, but it's one of those trailers to get you interested.
Yeah, just like a teaser trailer.
And it's something that'll be an extra on a DVD later on or something like that. And I was surprised to see it part of the film, which also makes me, I don't think there's a director's cut anywhere. I don't think there's a lot of cutting room. I think everything that they filmed is in that film, which I find interesting. And I'm not,
I know that that's wrong, really, as a thing, but carry on.
No, tell me more.
I know that there's a scene where a drunk Olivia Colman tries to usurp Helen Mirren as the narrator.
Right, okay.
And there's a scene where Midge gives birth.
Oh, really?
I know those two scenes exist. I've not seen them. I've seen like stills, and I don't know if Barbie's on physical media.
It is.
At
That's
all.
What I watched the other day. Yeah, I pre-ordered the Blu-ray. I didn't hate this movie,
but nice.
I haven't checked for special features. It just felt it was all up there. But that's
let me know
cool
if there is that stuff on
extras.
There.
and that's not really a criticism. It was just odd. And I think to me, not all the jokes landed. And also, I was disappointed that it didn't reference the rest of the Barbie cinematic universe. And mate, I would pay double to see a Mermaidia story starring Dua Lipa. All right.
Oh my God. Yeah,
because that was the most missed opportunity of the whole thing, that she was only in it for two scenes as well. I will ask you to explain, and again, I think I was expecting too much. some things are just funny jokes, right? So I've had a bit of a go at the Rob Brydon thing, which was just a weird thing to poke fun at, but it is kind of funny, yeah? The Barbie as a camera with the TV in her back. Again, actually, that joke didn't work because she was a camera. That's why there was a TV in her back. Not that there was a TV in her back. But let's forget.
But like, they're all real Barbies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I'd love it if there was more of that all the way through it. But that's, and because most of the Barbies we saw don't exist. President Barbie.
Yes,
Wheelchair Barbie. Oh, I think Wheelchair Barbie does exist. I hope it exists.
Well, I think it does exist in several forms. Yeah. But and it's interesting, isn't it? Because you think President Barbie does exist. It just doesn't exist as, well, it will now, but like it doesn't exist as Issa Rae. Like, I know what you mean. The sort of like grow up Skipper was the exact like Barbie. They like looked at the Barbie and they made an actress look like the Barbie, whereas everyone else was quite generic. In their sort of like poet laureate Barbie and author Barbie,
engineer Barbie, and No, I was cool with that. I've lost my train of thought now. What was I moaning about?
Sorry.
No, it's all right. What was I moaning about? Where was I going with this?
No nods to the.
Sorry,
BCU.
So again, here's a joke I didn't get. Right. So when they come back to Barbie Land, is that what it's called? Barbie Land.
Yeah,
when they come back to Barbie Land and Ken's come back early and taken over. Well, John Cena has become the mermaid-y character. And I don't understand why he would.
So it's because every Barbie has a Ken, and that includes Dua Lipa's Barbie.
Who was
but they saved
I see.
Who was the like mermaid Barbie. Yeah. So there's a mermaid Ken.
But we didn't
see him until that point because John Cena was only on set for one day.
Yeah,
it was meant to be like a joke.
I understand the practicality. And I think that's the thing. I think
you were thinking too logically.
I think I was, and I don't think I did laugh watching it. I'm rewatching it the other day. There are a lot more sight gags I picked up. I just think because it's Greta and Noah writing it, I was looking for deeper meaning. And I think
is like wanting to break out of the fabric of your society and become a real human person.
Yeah,
the bond between mother and daughter.
I was all right with that meaning stuff. Enough it was all right with that stuff. It was the obvious fucking jokes. I was like, why are they doing that?
Yeah, you're like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and I think, but on their own, they're fucking hilarious. Yeah, I don't get me wrong, I'm not without humour. I hope you realise this, everybody. I have a sense of humour. I don't know. I didn't feel it was quite meshing, but it's still a 4 out of 5 movie. So I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I loved it way more than I loved Oppenheimer. It's just, I struggled with it a bit, and I wasn't as totally invested in it. And I think the good reasons for that, Emily, that you've bonded with it 1 star more than I have, because I think that's down to our gender and our experiences.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think men can really enjoy Barbie, and I think that they can also just appreciate Barbie, and I don't expect them to have the same like crying at like, you know, and like a lot of the criticisms of Barbie has been that America Ferrara's big monologue has been like, oh, feminism 101, like we needed you to get deeper. And it's like, well, no, because fundamentally this movie is about the whole point. The whole monologue ends with like, and if all of that is true for a doll, then I don't even know. Like, we're here to talk about a doll and its mirroring of society. And it might be the introduction to these concepts for lots of people for the first time, so I don't think it's a bad thing, because you're either there going, yes queen, I agree, or you're there going, oh my god, like what the hell.
I remember who's in that cinema when I was watching it in that cinema, Emily. There's middle-aged blokes like me, there's young mums, there's children, you know, there's 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds in there. There are guys, there was a mix of society. Not everyone will be totally au fait with it. Yeah, feminism 101 is absolutely fine at that level. Yeah. This is not a, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a.
Yeah. Like, this isn't like a king yellow wolf. I don't even know. Yeah. But like, you know, and those 8-year-olds, like, this might be the first time that a concept like this has been introduced to them. And if they're leaving the cinema going, "Mummy, what's the patriarchy?" I think that's a good thing. It's a good conversation starter. I think we all went years without having representation in the simplest of forms in mainstream cinema. Remember, this was the highest grossing movie of that year, and it talks about the struggle that women have in the most subtle ways that don't really get talked about. And the Panda Pixar movie that came out about periods, like, oh my God, the only thing
Turning
I had
red.
for periods, Turning Red, the only thing I had for periods when I was a kid, and I was petrified of getting my period. I honest to God thought I was gonna die. I couldn't think of anything worse. When they first told me what was gonna happen to me, I was like, can I opt out? Like, this sounds horrendous. I'm not looking forward to this at all. And all we had was in Greece, Rizzo going, I skipped a period and it's the worst thing in the world. And then Rizzo's got a bun in the oven. And so she, like, it just, everything around it was just so horrific to me. And there was no talk about it. There was no candid understanding of anything. And so, as a young woman, if you're on watching a fun, like, bubblegum movie that you're really enjoying, where Will Ferrell's chasing Margot Robbie to a banger of a tune, and then at the same time America Ferrera can go, we have to do this but we have to do that, and all of these things are too complicated and it's not fair, it's too difficult and it's expected from us, that could be really important.
Yeah,
And it is important
I know.
to so many people, to everyone.
Absolutely, and I 120% agree with everything you've just said there. And Turning Red, by the way, should be much
On the
more.
school
It
syllabus.
should be.
It should be on the
It
fucking school
is.
syllabus.
I mean, I'm a guy, and I just thought it was a wonderful movie. And even I saw
Yeah.
what they were fucking talking about, really. It's subtle as a tin of
Truly.
spam, right? Yeah, I just think, I'm all right that it wasn't as deep. I love the way it triggered the right wing reactionary people, because just the same way Black Panther triggers them, because they take everything too fucking literally. I thought the way I didn't think there was enough Kuti Gatwa, but then I'm a Doctor Who fan and I'm falling in love with him.
Nice. Yeah, you're right. He was I like that, like, there was the sort of the four main Kens, wasn't there? The three flanking Ryan Gosling's Ken. And it's like, as he said himself on Twitter, it was like Captain America's brother, Doctor Who, and then Shang-Chi. And they were like three Kens. And it was wonderful. They were so wonderful. Really fun.
And I love the music. I've got the soundtrack album. I think I might have talked about that on the last show. I can't remember. I was
Mate,
totally invested.
album, so good.
Again,
So good.
for me,
Every song is great.
the best soundtrack album since Ghostbusters. So that's
And this is the thing, it's
40 years.
because, yeah, it's because I was just so excited to be given the opportunity to listen to an album that had been purposefully constructed for a movie. Every artist had come with a song and it was gonna be in the movie at some point. And I listened to the album and I remember when it is in the movie, and I watch the movie and I remember listening to the whole song, like, because sometimes you won't get the whole song in the movie, obviously. And that's what's so great. Like, it's kind of weirdly to bring up Grease again. Raining on Prom Night is like played on a jukebox in the background, and then you go listen to the album and you get to hear the whole song, and it's really enjoyable. And like Barbie very much had that. The Sam Smith song, all about like Kens and the patriarchy, is a brilliant tune. Choose Your Fighter by Ava Max is my personal favorite from the album, but obviously Dua Lipa is fantastic.
Dua Lipa.
Billie Eilish, Oscar winner.
I mean,
And I mean, do we even need to discuss?
I'm just Ken.
I'm just Ken.
And I think that's the thing. So what we have is a soundtrack album that absolutely embedded in the movie. Most of those songs are in the movie, and if they're not, they feel like they should be. They've got the right feeling, and we've got cornucopia of legitimate modern female artists on the whole. So we've got Dua Lipa, we've got Billie Eilish, we've got was it Lizzo? Is it Lizzo? And we've got oh, what's her face? This is terrible. does the song in the final.
Nicki Minaj did the credit song with
Nicki Minaj. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Ice Spice.
Yeah, which is the Barbie girl thing as well. So it's Mattel saying, "Sorry for sewing the pants off you, Aqua, all those years ago." So that was nice. But then what we have is Ryan Gosling being able to do this song as well. And so it's not just... I just think it's valuable that he had a voice as well.
When they'd finished writing that, I wonder if they sat down and were like, this is going to change the world. Because a lot of complaints are that in a Barbie movie, everything's all about Ken and he never apologizes. But again, that's a reflection of real life. And, you know, I have no problem with, as we know, I have no problem with any of it. I do appreciate the concerns, but, like, you know, he's given the best song in the movie and stuff. And, like, but also, like, things can just be fun. And, again, you could see it as a symbolic reflection of real life that men get the better opportunities all the time.
Oh, mate. So
also,
some of the best...
bring back the ballet dream sequences. Like, love it.
Some of the best bits are Ken's, let's say, his red-pilled awakening, where he is... he thinks it's all to do with horses. That is just...
Oh my god, I realised it wasn't about horses. I lost interest.
Great.
I was sat next to somebody and that was the only time they laughed out loud.
That was brilliant.
At that line.
It was the... for me, it was... He goes up to the guy and says, you know, I want a job with prospects money, stuff like that. He goes, you can't have that. Yeah. You need to get an MBA at the very least. And he goes, what about the patriarchy? Isn't that a thing anymore? And the guy goes, yeah, it is. We're just better at hiding it. And it was just like, yes. Or when he goes, and it's then the so following good. Scene, he goes to the hospital, says he wants to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And
can I get a clicky pen?
Yeah, a clicky pen and a white coat.
No, a real doctor. No,
I want to speak to a real doctor. You are speaking to a real doctor. And he just walks, and they were brilliant scenes. And again, Gosling.
Yeah, and again, it's all very simple, but it's just, it's played so well. Like storming off the, I can't even beach here.
Oh,
so good.
Mate, I'm going to beach you off.
So good.
Which was the only bit.
Why are you getting emotional?
You can't beach me off, I'll beach you. I mean, there's this whole dark sex thing going on in that scene, which was, funnily enough,
I love it.
Until the final joke. The only time sort of there's any kind of sort of,
I don't know, Kate McKinnon makes reference to Ryan Gosling's
I wonder what sort of molded plastic package he's got, which coming from Kate McKinnon is kind of subversive as well, isn't it? Being as she wouldn't be,
oh my goodness, that final joke of the movie, and I plucked it, like, as she walked into the doctor's office, I was like, oh my god. And then she was like, I'm here to see my gynecologist. Such a credit. So, and I was like, perfection.
I'm interested in that joke because I was unsure. I was unsure if that ended the movie where I'd like it to be ended. But I think that is that can't be understood by me. So I'm interested in your thoughts.
Okay, to me, it was like the confirmation, if you will, that the sort of transformation had been complete. She's living as a human in real life, and we now know this. And like, it's just a very snappy, funny way to be like, and she's a real human now, the end. And like, because we know the struggle she's gone through and we're excited for her to live her life as a human. She's chosen to go down that path. Her costumes have gotten less extravagant. Her wigs have gotten like shorter and smaller. And the final transformation is the confirmation that she no longer has a plastic lump down there. No genitalia, as she said in the movie, that's a setup and it is paid off with, I'd like to see my gynecologist because I have something for them to see now. And I'm confused about it. I've never had one before. I need to go see it. Like, all of these things just made sense to me in the moment. And it was a fucking hilarious way to end the movie.
Yeah, I just know that some people, and I suspect mostly men, didn't get it. And I've got to admit, I felt uncomfortable because I didn't understand it. I hadn't lived it, I think, is maybe it. But that's fine. I mean, yeah. I get the whole Pinocchio thing. Yeah, I absolutely. Mm. This is a female plastic Pinocchio story. But I just wondered.
Yeah,
I just wondered, is that a? And again, I know a woman wrote the joke, or hopefully she did. Hopefully that's okay. I have no problem with how male characters on the whole. I mean, I didn't like, as I said, the Will Ferrell gang, but fine. Yeah. There's some humour in there. I'm not without fun myself. The only character I think, which was a little bit, and could have just done without him, was America Ferrera's husband. Who the joke is...
How dare you? Real life husband,
is that
I
who
may
it
add.
Is? So I didn't understand the joke. He's learning Spanish.
Aww. Yeah. Right, okay.
And that's
so
that's the only thing he exists for. What's the joke?
The joke is that he's married to a Spanish woman who has clearly taught her daughter to also speak fluent Spanish. And this is interesting because I know more about this because I've seen an interview with America Ferrera and Greta Gerwig had her on a Zoom and was like, I'm writing a joke about how you have a husband who is married into a Spanish family and still can't speak the language. So is teaching himself, like, still to this day on Duolingo, and it's a cutaway of, like, you know, we don't need the men, this is the women's story, but she does have a husband, and the joke is that, like, he can't speak Spanish. And America Ferrera went, that's so funny because my husband grew up in a Spanish-speaking area of America, married a Spanish-speaking woman, and has Spanish-speaking children, but is in the next room literally on Duolingo right now. So Greta was like, brilliant,
so
like, we'll cast him in the movie.
This is a life imitating art thing. Gotcha.
By accident, but also I think the point, what, again, not a weird joke, funny,
yeah,
like just genuinely, like the gags of the timing, like the Duolingo ding,
yeah,
of
yeah,
like, it'll be fine, cutting back, like just the timing of it all is so beautiful, and like that's sort of the joke.
Yeah, no, that,
if,
and
if that
is,
make, did I explain that?
No, you well. Did. I mean, the fact that it is, it's a real world joke as well. I think,
yeah,
that,
and it's like men aren't
funny.
Perfect. Men are, you can read it as like the, he's trying, but also like, shouldn't he already be able to speak Spanish at this point? Like, or is he, and he gets it wrong at the end of the movie as well. It's like, that's a political statement. That's appropriation, Dad.
Yeah,
like,
that was,
he's silly and goofy. The male characters in this get to be like silly and goofy, but it's still kind towards them.
I don't know if I needed him in it, but now you've given it some context, because there's some other stuff going on. She says, the one line I really do detest is when the young girl refers to herself as a tween. Nobody has ever referred to themselves as a tween ever. But
I can let her get away with it because she's so self-righteous and wordy. And like in that mindset of like being so right about everything that I can hear her pointing herself to say tween to sound like more like journalistic.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I get it, but she says, you know, what about Dad? Oh, he'll be all right. And I'd have been all right with that, but then we had that bit at the end, and also the bit where America Ferrera clearly learned to drive from another guy in the past.
I loved that bit
much. That's lovely. I just would have been happy if we never saw the dad.
There was this guy.
Because I don't think
I think it's sweet because what it does is it stops it being, it's still a girl power tale, but it allows it to also be like a family tale.
And
like the dad is important and he's...
With being married to somebody that you love, yeah? And having
kids. Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. It was just...
Because it offset as well Barbie wanting to be single and finding her way.
Oh, absolutely.
So then we were able to have a character that was happily married and the struggles that come with that, but ultimately like settled and content.
Yeah, no, I'm cool. Well done. Thank you. You sold me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
I think there are little moments I would have personally cut out, but I get why they're there and you've given me some context for that one.
Because it's funny.
But I am, I am shaving around the edges, aren't I? Of,
oh, yeah,
well,
yeah,
I'm nitpicking.
Course.
I didn't like this. I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, this was a joyous occasion. And
like, we haven't even talked about the production, the set, the costumes, the wigs, the way everything looked, the big plastic buttons of everything, the dream houses.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I do want to talk about that. And I want to talk about that in context of the Oscars and the perceived snub, right? So yes. I'll tell you my viewpoint, and then you're going to give the rebuttal, okay? So, I fully understand why this movie was not nominated for Best Picture. Was it nominated for Best Picture?
It was nominated for Best Picture.
I'm surprised it was nominated for Best Picture, sorry. But,
okay.
But, because of the competition. But I am and I'm not. I think it was rewarded with the nomination because it was so fucking successful. Is it genuinely...
The Best Picture of the year? I don't know. How much money did it make? Is that a reflection of how good and successful something is?
Sorry, let's start with Stephen doesn't believe in the Oscars. Can we just...
Okay.
I fucking detest the Oscars. I think the Oscars are a self... You know, no one gets nominated for an award they didn't put themselves up for, right? So let's start with that. Comedy films rarely get... Comedy and horror films have... Mm-hmm. Horror films historically have always done badly. Comedy films mm-hmm. far more recently don't get the credit they deserve. So I think it was always mm-hmm. going to struggle there. Where I think... Did it won for best song, didn't it?
Yep, Billie Eilish.
Did it win for anything else? I can't believe it didn't clean up. And this is a Godzilla boy here talking, right? That it didn't clean up all those other technical and creative awards. Because
I know, I was disappointed it lost to Poor Things for costume. It wasn't even nominated for hair and makeup, which is insane to me because I've learned so much. And perhaps it's because I was so invested because they made such a point of telling us everything as it went along. Mm. Like, oh, in order to get the right color blonde, we actually had to use hues of pink and like all of this thing.
That's absolutely criminal that it didn't. Yeah. I haven't watched Poor Things yet. I have it ready to go.
I have, and the costumes are really lovely and it's, you know, and great.
And fine. Yeah, I don't mind if it's deserving.
A lot of people are saying that Poor Things is an R-rated Barbie, which is something that I'm going to wait for you to watch Poor Things, and then we are going to have to almost do a separate podcast episode that I transcribe into an article because we'll talk about it when I've watched it.
And that's on my rotation for this week. So I will. Mm-hmm. It's a movie I really want.
I love that you have a rotation.
I do. I have this lit base. Yeah, I basically get things and I rip the DVD. I put them all on my little Kodi box. I've got a little Raspberry Pi that runs this application called Kodi. So all my movies are on this hard disk. And I get it all ready and have a playlist because I've obviously got all my other podcasts that I have to make sure I watch the movies for. So I have to make sure it's ready. So, yeah, I'm a bit anal like that. But I absolutely agree. The costuming, the hairstyles, the special effects, the production of this movie as we knew it was. We knew it was from that first trailer. We knew it was from the second trailer. The Barbies and the Kens are wearing. You know, there's again, it's a joke they didn't do enough of. But you remember when Ken's throwing out Barbie's clothes from the dream house?
Yes.
And it goes up into the sky, and these are real clothes that Barbie's had. And there's this wonderful bit of America Ferrera's character goes, "Oh, that would still
these
fit.
These are archival.
That might still fit me or something," she says.
This will fit me.
And I wish there was more of that. However, that was all brilliantly done. Yeah. And I do not understand why Barbie did not win every single award in that category. Because whilst I can come up with an argument about Oppenheimer being, even though I didn't enjoy it, I can absolutely see it had better acting, right? Because it's a dramatic film, right? Compared to a comedy with over-dramatic moments. I still might have given Rhea Perlman a nod towards supporting. I can't remember who won.
That is a good point.
Yeah. I would have given him... Did America Ferrera get nommed at all?
She did, she did.
So that's good. Are they winning...
And obviously Ryan Gosling did as well.
Yeah. Are they winning performances? Probably not, because they are these hyper-real comic performances. I do think Margot Robbie, though, is far more than stereotypical Barbie, because she goes on that journey and she is asked to emote as the film goes on.
And we see a very, like, people talk about Lily Gladstone's subtle acting, and that's why she was nominated despite only being in the film for like 40 minutes or whatever. But, like, you know, just because it was in a hyper realistic over the top film, Margot Robbie's transformation from stereotypical Barbie in on her perfect day in the opening to going to the gynecologist wasn't obviously helped by costume and makeup and hair, but it was her internal performance that went from this like very plastic Barbie, and she put a lot of work into becoming from this very plastic Barbie to a human person. And we watched her slowly make that shift. And it was a very subtle, clever performance that had a lot of meaning behind it.
And let's not forget, she is Australian. She acts like the all-American California Barbie girl, and she's Australian. Yeah.
That's such a good point.
And I think she, I mean, I genuinely think she's a great actress, right? And I think I've said this, I said this earlier. And I love it that she produced it. So the other thing is, obviously, this film was nearly a different film with a different director starring Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Amy Schumer.
Now, I can only imagine that film would have been very different. I'm not saying it would have been better or worse. We don't know. But I can only believe this was the perfect casting with the perfect person. I wish there was some way to reward her for doing this.
Well, $1 billion at the box office, but I know what you mean.
And which is why I dislike the Oscars, right? Because it makes really subject... Well, A, they're really subjective opinions, but they're also...
Of course.
By for all award ceremonies... are only contested by people who've been put up for them. It is no one accidentally gets anywhere near
No one's surprised. No one has a shock nomination.
Yeah, you are put forward for it by a film.
Yeah, of course.
I do like so the lady that runs, is it Warner Brothers? Is that the studio that put it out? I'm trying to look. So that's run by a lady now, and she's been doing the rounds. And she's spoken about she'd love to do. I think they would love to do more films with Mattel properties, and in particular, she would love to do a Barbie 2. But I think only.
Bet she would.
But only if the people who made it have a story to tell. And again, that's my next question.
This is
to
the
you.
Thing, because what the hell is the story going to be? There isn't one. It's all wrapped up.
I agree completely, and that was my response. Is there doesn't feel like there's a sequel here.
Because you could open up on Ken, like picking up where we leave him at the end of the movie. But then what? You got an hour and 45 minutes to fill. You got three act structure to come up with. What character arc is he going to go through? Like, you can't just be like, oh, that was good. I like that person. Let's make a whole fucking full length feature about it. It's like, no, you need lots more to warrant a movie.
Yeah, and we have...
Just on the runtime. Also.
And we have the animated movie universe. If we want to go and have action stories...
Exactly.
Then we come back here. And you know, I think you said it earlier, I am disappointed that they didn't even dig a little bit into the cinematic universe. I would love to have seen...
just like a Nutcracker Barbie,
I'd love
fairy
to have
princess.
Seen the Nutcracker character shuffle in a song in the background. I mean, what's her? Shelley Kelly is hinted at the end, and in the final sequence where they're going through the dolls. But I'd have liked to seen that more. And I get it. I get. You know, we're talking a very specific part of the overall Barbie platform, right? But I do know from reading comment sections under YouTube copies of the Barbie movies that those animated movies mean a lot. Not just people who are listening to this podcast now. So I don't think it would have hurt to have a little, just a little Easter egg or three.
I think you're right. I think I waited for an Easter egg to appear, and when it didn't, I felt like I'd lost something.
Yeah.
But however, on reflection, like this, by the second time I watched it and I'd made my peace with it, I was like, it's okay. Like, it doesn't, they're separate entities, and it's an hour and 50 minute movie. It's time to perfection, and it's not too long and it's not too short, but you know, they can only do so much in that time, Goldilocks in that running time.
It's just right. And I'm going to
exactly
100% agree with you. So I again, if you listen to any of my other podcasts, you know I can't fucking stand movies longer than 2 hours long, which is why I love this show. I love this show because all those movies we cover rarely break an hour
like
and a
an
half.
Hour 20.
Yeah. I honestly believe, and again, another reason I had problems with Oppenheimer, if you can't tell the story in 90 minutes, you better have a fucking good story to tell. Yeah,
and, yeah, you better have a good reason.
And
I
there is
agree.
A horrible... things aren't as bad as they used to be, where they were splitting films up into two movies. But I had a look at a whole bunch of movies that have been released this year on my little Kodi box, and they're all 2 hours 12 to 2 hours 20 long.
It's mad. And like, I watched Robin Hood, the old like 70s Disney version, the other day. That's an hour 25 minutes. Yeah. And then you think the new live action Little Mermaid is like 2.5 hours long or something ridiculous. Yeah. And you're like, why? How are you justifying this? It's for children. They want to just stick it on in the background. Like, why is it so long? What are you padding this out with? Because it's not efficient storytelling.
Oh, Elwood and I watched La Belle and La Bête, Jean-Claude Cocteau's version of Beauty and the Beast. Oh,
I am familiar.
Oh my God. Beautiful, beautiful. 90 minutes long. Almost to the second.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
And it just tells the story. Yeah. And it's also surreal and weird and wonderful and all these other things that the Barbie movie is as well. But does it in 90 minutes. So this movie did stretch it a little bit, but I actually
I'll allow it.
Oh no, I mean 2 hours is my real limit. Yeah. Because I think there was enough there. I think there was a we could have cut 5 minutes of Will Ferrell out and the film would have been fine, but I get why, you know, I'm not going to relitigate that. You're going to win any of those battles that I might have. But yeah, it was good. But there is no, I just don't think there's any wiggle room for a sequel. Would I love to watch a live action version of Dua Lipa as Mermaidia? Yes, five times. But it'll never happen because... Yeah. This movie was smart enough not to be an animated version. Sorry, a live action version of animated movie.
Telling, an animated tale.
It was telling a story about a bit of history about a toy, about a history of feminism. Mm-hmm. And it was bright and wonderful. And the music was amazing. And the production was great. And every time I think... I mean, I'm not sure I could have watched it 7 times at the cinema, but I bet each time you picked up a little something that was going on somewhere, which is why...
100%. I would, like, focus on a different part of the screen. It's like rewatching Fight Club over and over again. Yeah. Because there's no twist, but there's just so much happening in the background, and you can focus in on the set, or you can focus in on a particular Ken's reaction, or you can just look at all the different things, and it's so much fun, and it's so vibrant, and it's so, oh, it's just a joy. It makes me so happy.
It does, but I'm happy that's it. And obviously what's going to happen, Emily, right? We'll be doing Barbie and Chelsea in the Dream House or whatever in a couple of years' time. And they'll be announced new Barbie movie. And we're going to be like...
I mean, maybe not, because Mattel have greenlit a bunch. Like Barney is becoming a movie that I think Jordan Peele is...
Are they going to make a horror movie?
Yeah, and like the Magic 8-Ball is going to get a horror movie, and like the rocking robots, the robots that like punch each other's heads off, they're getting a movie. Thomas the Tank Engine is getting a movie. Like, yeah, Mattel is just going to town, and like let's hope that like let's be optimistic. Let's say that we do recreate Barbie's success because we hand these topic matters to interesting, creative people and we let them have full creative control and we see what they do with them. If they just hand them to some hack and say, make a movie, like that Winnie the Pooh slasher, no offense, I've not seen it, but like, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick and they didn't do anything with it.
No, I
and so everyone's like, this is bad. And it's like, yeah, obviously it's bad because no one went in thinking I have something to say about the works of A.A. Milne. They went, haha, you know what's funny? Winnie the Pooh now out of copyright. So let's put a mask on a serial killer.
There'll be a few more of those. There'll be a Steamboat Willie one. Although actually Disney have been quite clever. And while Steamboat Willie is out of copyright, They've made sure they've got trademark control over their... A.A. Milne isn't going to sue anybody, basically. Whereas, there's a Steamboat Willie slasher coming, basically. It was announced the day after the copyright done. But you are not allowed to affect Disney's standing as a company. So
who's going to watch that? What do they want to get out of that? They just want to see the mouse that we only know from like whistling on a boat. He's going to start killing. Like, you're going to have to sit through nearly 2 hours of like an extended joke. There has to be more.
And to be honest with you, it's already been done in that game. Is it Blinky in the machine something?
And there's like Cuphead, which is very like rubber pipe animation stuff. Yeah. It's all been done.
It exists. And I'm not too sure I care about a movie about the Rock and Sock and Robots. I'm not sure I care about the Magic 8-Ball. I was just thinking, do you remember those the Toys That Made Us stuff on Amazon, which one of them was on Barbie? I was trying to think of what other toys they're not going to be able to do a movie on Star Wars figures. They're not going to be able to do a movie on...
This is the thing, because so many toys back in the day were... they came from the TV show. The TV show was like an advert,
so
and then they
the
sold
whole
the toy.
80s TV show shit. Yeah, I guess board games,
which have already sort of been done. Like G.I. Joe has been made into a live action. Mm. Ninja Turtles have been made into live actions. Like, they've already been going through
anything,
intellectual property that's known for its toy market.
The only thing is board games. Obviously, we've got Jumanji. Oh, I've got a couple of surprisingly good movies, which
again, though, like, that's because did Jumanji exist as a game before the movie?
No, Jumanji's an invention for obviously
that's
the original
way you
movie,
should do it.
And then they remade it. But
yeah, that first remake is really good.
Yeah, it is shockingly good, and it's like,
yeah,
that has no right to be that good. And then you look at
honestly, they didn't need to go that hard. I was like so impressed.
Yeah, it was. I haven't seen the sequel. I don't know if that's as good.
Don't bother.
I don't care, because the first one was like, I just watched it one day. It was a boxing day or something. I watched it, and I just had really low expectations. And I was, after Christmas, like, hey, that's a really good movie. But yes, I think you could do some board games. I think. A Game of Life or something like that, you could do some. But on the whole, I don't see anything that you've told me that Mattel are going to monetize. Obviously, Transformers, done that. Yeah, done that to fucking death. And they're not really... The point of the Barbie movie is this is not an event. This is not a movie with Barbie as a star. We've got 36 of those fuckers to do. This is a movie about the doll. And about a particularly that doll's place in American post-50s culture.
Yeah.
And I think
to the modern day.
And therefore that story is now told. You could tell it again, but you're not going to make $1 billion out of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. But have I sounded really down about it?
No, if anything, like, you've barely had any criticisms. You've been like, I didn't get why he was learning Spanish. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I would have trimmed it around the edges. Some of it I didn't think quite hit the mark. I think I didn't always think the message was quite on point. I haven't really spoken about how fucking hilarious watching people like Ben Shapiro get their knickers in a twist over it is, but... You know, that's a purely me thing, Emily. I enjoy watching people get upset about things that just aren't problems at all.
No, I don't like it.
It lived up to my expectations, and I was really happy that we got it. But I am also going to be glad to dive back into our project. And I think we'll be watching. It'll be interesting. Sometimes we'll be thinking about this movie when talking about them moving forward, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to now have an impact.
But we shall see.
Join us next time.
For
Mariposa and her fairy friends, I think it is.
Excellent.
Welcome back, Barbie.
Normal programming is returning, everybody. Let's hope everyone's hung around.
Yay!